session number 24898, reel 3.
Alarm Jean-Pierre Camus, reel 3. You were saying that...
I was saying that we were very happy to do... to have done something for the liberation of France. We were sure we were doing the right thing. And we were very happy to do it. And we were very faithful. We were good friends all together. When it was over, we all went there. We were glad it was over. We had won and done what we had to do, but it was over. We turned the page. And for the 80th birthday of Georges Boussier, we met, and I have written a little story in a fancy thing, saying, because as you know, the Vesoul was called Bourgogne, and there's a French song which says, nous sommes fiers d'être bourguignons. So my story started like that. Nous étions fiers d'être bourguignons. So that was really, that sounds silly, that was really what we all felt. We didn't ask for medals and whatnot. We did get them, but we never asked anything. We were really pleased, of course, the ones that went through without any bother, like me, for instance. We were really happy to have done our work, and that was it.
What happened to you then after the liberation, when the Allies had arrived, the Germans had gone?
Well, I found a job at the... DGER, it's Direction Générale des Services Spéciaux. And after that, I found a job in UNRWA, UNRWA. And then UNICEF, and then UNESCO, and then I married and had babies.
Having been involved in the clandestine work for months and months, years, was it difficult to readjust to living a normal civil life afterwards?
At the beginning, yes. Finding myself sitting behind a typewriter. After a bit, I got used to it. I got used to it, especially because I went to UNRWA in Beirut, and that was something else. I mean, it was looking after, it was dealing with the problem that still is on. Palestinians.
When was that you went to Beirut?
First, after the liberation, I went to Germany. Yes, I went to Germany at the Constance the gouvernement provisoire. And then I went to PCIRO. I think PCIRO was what? And then I had an offer to go to Beirut.
What work were you doing in Germany?
Well, I was I was at the gouvernement provisoire with Monsieur Franck, Commandant Franck, who was a friend of the family and a friend of the prince, actually. And he was dealing with the distribution of petrol.
Yeah.
So that's a funny little story, but it's not nothing to record, I suppose. But when I was in a library, there was a client there came, and she was telling me it was about library lending the books. She was telling the boss that she slept with Fritz somebody, and another one came, knocked on the door, so Fritz went through the window and this and that, sent his boots, and actually she worked with two collaborationist newspapers.
Oh.
And she was perfumed with a very strong perfume. When I was in the office with Commandant Franck, I was coming down along the corridor. I smelled that perfume. I said, my. I came in the office, and there she was, asking for petrol. So Commandant Franck liked nice women. And he said, Mademoiselle, go and get somebody to sign this a bill for
requisition.
So I went out. My miss no. So I put on a note, Madame somebody has been working for and I came back, I said, on the desk, I said, the colonel didn't want to sign. He read it, and said, madam, I'm very sorry. But if she could, she would have killed me. And I was very happy. My trick. Thank God. I said, that's my resistance.
Carrying on. What were the conditions like in the part of Germany where you were working?
Well, I remember Constance being very empty, we were all French, of course, but the maids and people who were serving us were not aggressive at all.
Mm.
They were having their bad time. There was nothing much to eat. No, they really actually had much, but we were used to it after all. And I stayed there 14 months, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Trying to learn German. That was my idea. Mm. I didn't learn much, but
when you went to Beirut, what was happening there?
I was in the translating office for all the documents of the business between Israel and the Palestinians. We had Palestinians working with us in the office, and most of the rich Palestinians had gone. Showed their orange trees and what, and gone. and the others were put in camps. Mm. And what do you do when you're in a camp? You have nothing to do. You produce children. Mm. So there we have now the children of the children of the children.
Children. Mm. And was Beirut a calm and orderly place at this time, or was it disordered by the arrival of the refugees?
No. Mm. It was a very nice place to live in. Very, people were very kind, very nice, very business, even small business, the business people.
Was there any sign of the potential violent disorder that emerged later in Lebanon at that time?
Not really.
Did you have occasion to go into Syria at all?
Yes, but Syria at the border, you could feel the difference between Lebanese and Syrians.
What was the difference?
Well, they were very military looking, very severe, very even fierce, I should say. Mm. It's not just the Lebanese, it's all smiles, businessmen. Mm. Actually, we went back to on a tour recently with my friends, and we went to all the Middle East. But I found a change in Beirut, a great change in Syria, a great change in Jordan, and. Population has got enormous. Mm. When I went to Jordan when I was there, and Christmas 1950, it was 1950. We went by car with colleagues to Jerusalem for Christmas mass, a little Christmas mass, and. We stopped at Amman. There was one hotel, the only one. And now we went back 2 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. We went back with lines of hotels, all bigger than the other. Funny.
What about the changes in Lebanon and in Syria? What did you make of those on your recent?
Beirut at hardly could I recognize it. A whole part of the what we call the Arab part of Beirut after the plastic canal. Have you ever been to it? The plastic canal was the line between the European part of Beirut and the Arabic part, and all that's been flattened completely. And big, new, modern buildings are built. It's not built anymore as it was, except the coastline.
Did you get any sense of the political atmosphere in the country?
Not really in Beirut, because we went there. We just peeped in Beirut and went to Baalbek. In Syria, it sounded much more democratic, doesn't seem the right word, but still, much more touristic-minded.
Syrians less fierce than before? Were the Syrians less fierce than before? You said earlier
they look happier. Yes.
Because the first time you went to Syria, I think it was just after France had evacuated and they'd been granted independence.
Well, it looked very military. Soldiers, all armed soldiers, all over. But so was Egypt in those days. went to, when we worked in Beirut, we went all around the places we could go to.
Mm.
We went to Egypt. We had a beautiful stay in Upper Egypt. And actually we had Upper Egypt for us. We were three colleagues, three girls. We were the only tourists there. When we went back with my husband a few years ago, we had to line up to see all the sites and boats on big boats on the Nile. And not the same atmosphere at all.
What was the atmosphere on your first visit when there were just the three of you?
Well, our Upper Egypt was lovely. Cairo was, as I said, military. Guns all around.
Yeah.
We turned around the corner.
So this was just around the time of the first war, wasn't it? The first Arab-Israeli war, or just after?
That was before the Six Days war.
Yes.
It's 51.
There was still a high level of tension between Israel and the Arab powers at that time.
I can't remember the 6 days war, when it was.
1967.
67.
June.
I don't know.